All right, guys. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Today is May 12th, 2024. We are reading from the big book of AA, page one, beginning at the beginning, War Fever Ran High, up to and including page two, We Give Up Our Positions. Betty C is going to do the reading for us, and then we'll have a 20-minute share by the lovely Judith SP. Go ahead, Betty.
Thank you, Marla. Betty C here. Chapter One, Bill's Story. War fever ran high in the New England town to which we new young officers from Plattsburgh were assigned. And we were flattered when the first citizens took us to their homes, making us feel heroic. Here was love, applause, war, moments sublime with intervals hilarious. I was part of life at last. And in the midst of the excitement, I discovered liquor. I forgot the strong warnings and the prejudices of my people concerning drink. In time, we sailed for over there. I was very lonely and again turned to alcohol. We landed in England. I visited Westchester Cathedral. Much moved, I wandered outside. My attention was caught by a doggerel on an old tombstone. Here lies a Hampshire grenadier who caught his death drinking cold small beer. A good soldier is ne'er forgot, whether he dieth by musket or by pot. Ominous warning, which I failed to heed. 22 and a veteran of foreign wars, I went home at last. I fancied myself a leader, for had not the men of my battery given me a special token of appreciation, my talent for leadership, I imagined, would place me at the head of vast enterprises which I would manage with the utmost assurance. I took a night law course and obtained employment as investigator for a surety company. The drive for success was on. I'd proved to the world I was important. My work took me about Wall Street, and little by little, I became interested in the market. Many people lost money, but some became very rich. Why not I? I studied economics and business as well as law. Potential alcoholic that I was, I nearly failed my law course. At one of the finals, I was too drunk to think or write. Though my drinking was not yet continuous, it disturbed my wife. We had long talks when I would still her forebodings by telling her that men of genius conceive their best projects when drunk, that the most majestic constructions of philosophic thought were so derived. By the time I had completed the course, I knew the law was not for me. The inviting maelstrom of Wall Street had me in its grip. Business and financial leaders were my heroes. Out of this alloy of drink and speculation, I commenced to forge the weapon that would one day turn in its flight like a boomerang and all but cut me to ribbons. Living modestly, my wife and I saved $1,000. It went into certain securities, then cheap and rather unpopular. I rightly imagined that they would someday have a great rise. I failed to persuade my broker friends to send me out looking over factories and managements, but my wife and I decided to go anyway. I had developed a theory that most people lost money in stocks through ignorance of markets. I discovered many more reasons later on. We gave up our positions and off we roared on a motorcycle, the sidecar stuffed with tent, blankets, a change of clothes, and three huge volumes of a financial service. Our friends thought a lunacy commission should be appointed. Perhaps they were right. I had had some success at speculation, so we had a little money, but we once worked on a farm for a month to avoid drawing on our small capital. That was the last honest manual labor on my part for many a day. We covered the whole eastern United States in a year. At the end of it, my reports to Wall Street procured me a position there and the use of a large expense account. The exercise of an option brought in more money, leaving us with a profit of several thousand dollars that year. I pass.
Thank you, Betty. Mm-hmm. Okay, and next we're going to have a share from our speaker today, Judith P. Judith, do you want any kind of time warning, or are you keeping your own time, my friend?
I'll keep my own time, but I can always use a backup at 15 minutes because I don't do anything by myself anymore.
So you mean when you have 5 minutes left? Is that what you mean? Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead, Judith P. Take it away.
Okay. Okay. I just want to get on and see everybody. Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Judith S.P. I live in Maryland, and I'm truly grateful to be here. A short prayer. God, help me set aside and lie aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about me, everything I think I know about anything and everything, for an open and accepting mind and an awakened and loving heart for a new experience on this glorious day that God has given us. And with that, I say amen. Okay. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. And when I was graciously asked a while ago to speak at a meeting, little did I know that it was another special day, like every day. And it's Mother's Day. Those of you who, well, all of us, I trust, have had mothers in one form or another, are mothers, maybe mothers, mother other people. So happy day on top of this glorious day to all of us. And as I have learned from being very honored to share at some meetings, I usually, if not last minute beforehand, get very prepared. And I've noticed over time, as I become very academically ready to share, that I block myself off from God when I do that. So I do have a few notes just to help me. But hopefully God will speak through me and channel through my words what he'd like me to say and possibly what he'd like you to hear. When I read the first couple pages, as I've done many times, I said, why did I pick that? It's not really going to relate to me. Well, lo and behold, it sure as heck did. There's a period in my life, just to spend a couple minutes on me, alone, driven. I didn't spend much time reflecting on my 20s. I did some work in program and through analysis and many other avenues on my childhood, on my grown-up adulthood, 30s, 40s, etc. But really didn't do much on reflecting on my 20s. So first two words, war fever, ran high. Well, I'm a child born in the late 40s. And so Saturday night fever ran high. Look at that. Right away, I can relate to Bill. And I was a child of the 60s. And after college, where I was still a pretty unhappy human being, I went out on my own. I lived in upper Manhattan and went to graduate school. And after a year in graduate school, I realized this wasn't for me. How I made that decision is partly, I think it was sensible, because my placement in social work school, I was 21, knew nothing, didn't know really anything about parenting. Anyway, the bottom line is I was placed in foster care, taking young children from their birth families to their foster families and vice versa. I would take babies, I would take mentally challenged young people, and the incompetence just grew and grew as I was in school. And so by the end of that year, I said, I can't do this. I'm not qualified. It was probably one of the first times I was very honest with myself. And there was a real intense God moment that stays in my head even to this moment, that I think I had just finished taking a young baby from her birth parent back to her foster parent. And the birth mom was very sad and distraught, and I had to take the child. That was part of my responsibility. And I remember turning to God deep down in my soul and said, please, God, don't ever let me have children. There are so many children in this world suffering and needing love. Don't let me do it. Well, that was a warning to me. Not only was it a warning, but, you know, I hear often, be careful what you wish for or intention for, because you just might get it. Well, fast forward into my 40s, getting married. I didn't have biological children. I couldn't. Maybe it was age. Maybe it was God saying, remember what you asked for? You got it, baby. And so we adopted 4 children. And that in and of itself is a whole other journey. But I was on a path. I dropped out of graduate school. I became a substitute teacher in the New York City public school system. They were desperate for teachers back in the late 60s and 70s. And I taught second grade. And I lived near Columbia University, and I was partying and playing, and I had money. I was out on my own. But inside, I was miserable. I was still searching for something, mostly somebody, to help me be complete. And it didn't work. So I taught for a couple of years. I did things very liberally back then. My students called me Judith. We spent a lot of time in the park. I did have kind of a Montessori attitude to my teaching, but I didn't really know how to teach. So I didn't know exactly what I was doing. Hopefully most of those children grew up and weren't damaged by my teaching method. In fact, one of those students, because of Facebook, which I'm not on now, did get in touch with me and said, are you the Judy Sitkin who was my teacher in second grade? So I made some kind of impact. I ended up saving some money. And just like Bill, in terms of his quitting, I quit a lot of things, picked them up, had relationships, dropped them or was dropped, always looking for that right Prince Charming. And I never found him until I found my charming prince in my 40s. I decided, or just impulsively, I had enough of teaching. I knew I wasn't being authentic. I saved $3,000 and I went out to California. My brother was living there, and I became a real genuine hippie, as much as I could be a hippie. I lived off my money. I lived in a group home. We smoked a lot of grass, went out into the country, did whatever your mind might take you, fun things. But underneath it all, I was miserable. And after, I think, 1 heavier drug use, I really had a mental breakdown. And even though, just like Bill, I saved money, I saved $3,000 in the 60s. He saved $1,000 in the 30s. So, you know, maybe it was comparable, maybe not. But they took off. They took off, right? Geographic cure, here I come. Just trying to run away from myself. But didn't realize that I was taking myself with me. Oh, my God. What a secret I kept from myself. So in any event, stayed in California a couple years, and in the time I was there, I disowned my parents. I didn't want to have anything to do with them because it was all their fault that even though I externally had an okay life, it was because they were not good parents that I was who I was, unhappy and depressed. But however, I needed them because I was starting to get paranoid, and I flew from California to New York about three or four times over about an 8 month period. And every time I came back to New York, guess who had to pick me up? So I drew them back in my life out of desperation. Ended up living with my parents. And after a couple of years of living with them and being pretty depressed and vulnerable, I've mentioned in other shares that I had a suicidal journey, part of my path, and tried several ways to kill myself. My parents found a facility here in Maryland, which is the beginning of my rebirth. It wasn't spiritual rebirth, but it was mental rebirth. I spent a year and a half in a hospital that no longer exists, no medication, psychoanalysis 5 days a week, 4 days a week, I think. Anyway, through all these escapades, possibly like Bill, I didn't know anything. I was just following whatever came up impulsively. And food was a big part of my life from childhood on. Comfort, security, just a way to feel a little bit okay. And drugs were part of it too. A lot of times I didn't think I had an eating problem because you get the munchies after you smoke grass. I don't even know if it's called grass anymore. But I would gain weight, I'd lose weight, not majorly. And when I look back at pictures, I didn't see a really heavy gal. But when I looked deeply into my facial expression and just my posturing, I was very heavy. I was heavy spiritually. I was heavy mentally, and emotionally. And my course, I kept going along. I ended up going back to graduate school in dance therapy. I love dance. And that was another beautiful opportunity. But I was going to show the world that I was going to be really the best now because I found a passion. And initially, I was good. I got good evaluations. But underneath it all, there was a really unhappy human being putting one step in front of the other. I no longer wanted to kill myself, but I didn't even know what my purpose was. And I sometimes would try to compensate for my low self-esteem and feeling like I'm not worth much by being more boisterous or look at me, everybody. I am, look at what my patients are doing. They're taking up and walking out, They didn't want to be in my group and now they love my group. And there was a lot of artificial emphasis I placed on things outside of myself to try and help me feel better. Long and short of it is, I spent a lot of years in and out of therapies, yoga retreats, buying books, going on diets, trying to find the right person to make me happy, ultimately wanting that little house with the fence yard with the two kids, she with a bow in her hair, he with his little, punk, spent a lot of time outwardly trying to make myself feel better. And again, it didn't work. I came into these rooms in 2014 through another program. Once I finished the steps in the other program, I still didn't feel great. And then I realized, you know, there's an elephant in the middle of the room, Judith, and it's you. And somehow I had heard about OA. I don't even recall. Maybe someday it will be revealed to me, the specifics. But I came into the rooms. I enjoyed it. Nice group of people like you all are. I looked around. This was in person. I really liked the after meeting when we would go out for coffee or tea. Everybody had lunch. I just had coffee. How do you eat with other people when you're struggling with eating? I don't know how they did it. That was a mystery to me. But I stayed in the room 7 years. Don't ask me to sponsor. I'm a therapist. I cannot sponsor people. Don't ask me to do service. I'm busy. I've got stuff to do. Wrong. But I didn't know it was wrong. I just thought, I don't even know if I thought. Anyway,
it's about 5 minutes. I know you heard your timer too.
Thank you so much. Just let me know when it's ended too. I prayed to God in the winter of 2021 because nothing was working. My anger, my irritation, my expectations of others, my disappointments, they were still all with me. They were all with me. And nothing I did was getting rid of them, what was releasing them. And so I prayed to God, please help me find a way to use the big book and get recovered. I don't even know what I was saying, but I said the words. I was willing. In May of 2021, I asked someone to sponsor me. Thank goodness she said yes. And I had a beautiful experience going through the 12 steps. When I dove into the 12 steps, the food and the weight did what it did. I don't know what happened. It wasn't even important. My love of feeling like I was home, that there was a completeness from the minute I started working with her. There was an energy that just drew me. There was like a magnetic field. And it wasn't perfect. I'm no perfect human being. Please, if you had a camera in my life, you'd say, really, she's sharing with us today? But I'm a human being. The reality is I worked through the steps. I had a little bit of a hiccup here and there on some things, but I really was able to work through the steps. Had the beginning anxiety. Maybe it's because I'm older. I was a little anxious to sponsor, but I said, Judith, you'll do the best you can. And if you don't know what you're doing, you'll ask someone for help. I will wrap up a little bit by saying, God, it's all God for me. As I said at the beginning, there's nothing, as much as I can be consciously connected between my head and my heart and my soul, God is the way. You all are supports. You are connection. I need that in my life. But as Bill W. says, and I have his emotional sobriety letter, I look at it every day. My one dependence is on God. And that was what was missing. I believed in God from a little kid. Please, God, let me do well on this test. Please, God, let that boy want me more than the other girl. But it was always a contractual. And now I know I breathe in God, I breathe out God, and I serve others. And that's O2, which is the chemical term for oxygen. I breathe and I serve others. And as long as I stay on the path with God and do what God directs me to do, then I'm okay. And I know that as I heard someone say, and I'll end with this, I watched a movie titled Not Important, won't say it here, and the man was dying. And his wife said, I'm going to miss you. And I know you don't want to leave. And he said, you know, it's okay because I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Whatever happens, happens. And I truly feel that whatever my timeline is left, I don't have any regrets as long as I keep connected to God. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for inviting me. And wow, this is wonderful. I feel honored.
Wow, Judith, thank you so much.